Today is the third day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today, and every day. Today is Good Friday. So we're in Holy Week moving toward Easter celebration and probably very well preparing for that. This is Good Friday, one of the darkest, blackest, deepest days that we would find on the Christian calendar. This is a day when Jesus is crucified, a day when he dies. It's a day that he's laid in a tomb. It's, like today and tomorrow, these are days where God is dead. And that's the commemoration of this reality, of the victory that we can celebrate on Sunday, is that something precious died because of the weight of our reckless choices in life, that sin costs something, which is laid out in the Bible clearly. And so it's a black day, a day of sadness. This is as we get to the culmination of the Lenten season, we truly understand the impact of the damage that sin does and that we have participated in, and that we need a Savior. The shame is too overwhelming. And so may we take some time to sit with that at some point in this Good Friday. I am grateful to be here with you today, grateful to observe Good Friday together with you, grateful to be here with you today to move forward. And so let's do that. We're working our way through the book of Deuteronomy right now. It's not his last will and testament. It's just the last things that he needs to say. And we have been with Moses a long time. The last things that he needs to say to the children of Israel before he leaves them. Today, Deuteronomy chapters 23, 24, and 25. A man with crushed or severed genitals may not enter the assembly of the Lord. A person of illegitimate birth may not enter the assembly of the Lord. To the 10th generation, no one related to him may do so. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. To the 10th generation, none of their descendants shall ever do so, for they did not meet you with food and water on the way as you came from Egypt. And furthermore, they hired Balaam, son of Beor of Pethor, in Aram-Naharaim to curse you. But the Lord your God refused to listen to Balaam and changed the curse to a blessing, for the Lord your God loves you. You must not seek peace and prosperity for them through all the ages to come. You must not hate an Edomite, for he is your relative. You must not hate an Egyptian, for you lived as a foreigner in his land. Children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. When you go out as an army against your enemies, guard yourselves against anything impure. If there is someone among you who is impure because of some nocturnal emission, he must leave the camp. He may not re-enter it immediately. When evening arrives, he must wash himself with water, and then at sunset he may re-enter the camp. You are to have a place outside the camp to serve as a latrine. You must have a spade among your other equipment, and when you relieve yourself outside, you must dig a hole with the spade and then turn and cover your excrement. For the Lord your God walks about in the middle of your camp to deliver you and defeat your enemies for you. Therefore your camp should be holy, so that he does not see anything indecent among you and turn away from you. You must not return an escaped slave to his master when he has run away to you. Indeed, he may live among you in any place he chooses, in whichever of your villages he prefers. You must not oppress him. There must never be a sacred prostitute among the young women of Israel, nor a sacred male prostitute among the young men of Israel. You must never bring the pay of a female prostitute or the wage of a male prostitute into the temple of the Lord your God in fulfillment of any vow, for both of these are abhorrent to the Lord your God. You must not charge interest on a loan to your fellow Israelites, whether on money, food, or anything else that has been loaned with interest. You may lend with interest to a foreigner, but not to your fellow Israelites. If you keep this command, the Lord your God will bless you in all you undertake in the land you are about to enter to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you must not delay in fulfilling it, for otherwise he will surely hold you accountable as a sinner. If you refrain from making a vow, it will not be sinful. Whatever you vow, you must be careful to do what you have promised, such as what you have vowed to the Lord your God as a freewill offering. When you enter the vineyard of your neighbor, you may eat as many grapes as you please, but you must not take away any in a container. When you go into the ripe grain fields of your neighbor, you may pluck off the kernels with your hand, but you must not use a sickle on your neighbor's ripe grain. If a man marries a woman, and she does not please him because he has found something indecent in her, then he may draw up a divorce document, give it to her, and evict her from his house. When she has left him, she may go and become someone else's wife. If the second husband rejects her and then divorces her, gives her the papers and evicts her from his house, or if the second husband who married her dies, her first husband who divorced her is not permitted to remarry her after she has become ritually impure, for that is offensive to the Lord. You must not bring guilt on the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. When a man is newly married, he need not go into the army nor be obligated in any way. He must be free to stay at home for a full year and bring joy to the wife he has married. One must not take either lower or upper millstones as security on a loan, for that is like taking a life itself as security. If a man is found kidnapping a person from among his fellow Israelites and regards him as mere property and sells him, that kidnapper must die. In this way you will purge the evil from among you. Be careful during an outbreak of leprosy to follow precisely all that the Levitical priests instruct you. As I have commanded them, so you should do. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam along the way after you left Egypt. When you make any kind of loan to your neighbor, you may not go into his house to claim what he is offering as security. You must stand outside, and the person to whom you are making the loan will bring out to you what he is offering as security. If the person is poor, you may not use what he gives you as security for a covering. You must by all means return to him at sunset the item he gave you as security, so that he may sleep in his outer garment and bless you for it. It will be considered a just deed by the Lord your God. You must not oppress a lowly and poor servant, whether one from among your fellow Israelites or from the resident foreigners who are living in your land and villages. You must pay his wage that very day before the sun sets, for he is poor and his life depends on it. Otherwise, he will cry out to the Lord against you and you will be guilty of sin. Fathers, must not be put to death for what their children do, nor children for what their fathers do. Each must be put to death for his own sin. You must not pervert justice, do a resident foreigner, or an orphan, or take a widow's garment as security for a loan. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I am commanding you to do all this. Whenever you reap your harvest in your field and leave some unraked grain there, you must not return to get it. It should go to the resident foreigner, orphan, and widow, so that the Lord your God may bless all the work you do. When you beat your olive tree, you must not repeat the procedure. The remaining olives belong to the resident foreigner, orphan, and widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you must not do so a second time. They should go to the resident foreigner, orphan, and widow. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do all this. If controversy arises between people, they should go to court for judgment. When the judges hear the case, they shall exonerate the innocent but condemn the guilty. Then, if the guilty person is sentenced to a beating, the judge shall force him to lie down and be beaten in his presence with the number of blows his wicked behavior deserves. The judge may sentence him to 40 blows, but no more. If he is struck with more than these, you might view your fellow Israelite with contempt. You must not muzzle your ox when it is treading grain. If brothers live together, and one of them dies without having a son, the dead man's wife must not remarry someone outside the family. Instead, her late husband's brother must go to her, marry her, and perform the duty of a brother-in-law. Then the first son she bears will continue the name of the dead brother, thus preventing his name from being blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to marry his brother's widow, then she must go to the elders at the town gate and say, "My husband's brother refuses to preserve his brother's name in Israel. He is unwilling to perform the duty of a brother-in-law to me." Then the elders of his city must summon him and speak to him. If he persists, saying, "I don't want to marry her," then his sister-in-law must approach him in view of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, and spit in his face. She will then respond, "Thus may it be done to any man who does not maintain his brother's family line." His family name will be referred to in Israel as the family of the one whose sandal was removed. If two men get into a hand-to-hand fight, and the wife of one of them gets involved to help her husband against his attacker, and she reaches out her hand and grabs his private parts, then you must cut off her hand. Do not pity her. You must not have in your bag different stone weights, a heavy and a light one. You must not have in your house different measuring containers, a large and a small one. You must have an accurate and correct stone weight and an accurate and correct measuring container, so that your life may be extended in the land the Lord your God is about to give you. For anyone who acts dishonestly in these ways is abhorrent to the Lord your God. Remember what the Amalekites did to you on your way from Egypt, how they met you along the way and cut off all your stragglers in the rear of the march when you were exhausted and tired. They were unafraid of God. So when the Lord your God gives you relief from all the enemies who surround you in the land he is giving you as an inheritance, you must wipe out the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven. Do not forget. Luke 10, 13-37. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be thrown down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Then the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Look, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and on the full force of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names stand written in heaven. On that same occasion, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your gracious will. All things have been given to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son decides to reveal him. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Now an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus, saying, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you understand it? The expert answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But the expert, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the injured man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came up to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling came to where the injured man was, and when he saw him, he felt compassion for him. He went up to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring olive oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever else you spend, I will repay you when I come back this way. Which of these three do you think became a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in religious law said, The one who showed mercy to him. So Jesus said to him, Go and do the same. Psalm 75. For the music director, according to the Alteshket style, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. You reveal your presence. People tell about your amazing deeds. God says, At the appointed times, I judge fairly. When the earth and all its inhabitants dissolve in fear, I make its pillars secure. Selah. I say to the proud, do not be proud, and to the wicked, do not be so confident of victory. Do not be so certain you have won. Do not speak with your head held so high. For victory does not come from the east or west, or from the wilderness. For God is the judge. He brings one down and exalts another. For the Lord holds in his hand a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices and pours it out. Surely, all the wicked of the earth will slurp it up and drink it to its very last drop. As for me, I will continually tell what you have done. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. God says, I will bring down all the power of the wicked. The godly will be victorious. Proverbs 12:12-14. The wicked person has desired the stronghold of the wicked, but the root of the righteous will yield fruit. The evil person is ensnared by the transgression of his speech, but the righteous person escapes out of trouble. A person will be satisfied with good from the fruit of his words, and the work of his hands will be rendered to him. Okay, so in the Gospel of Luke, like yesterday, we learned the cost, the sacrifice that is involved in following Jesus. We were told that we're being sent as lambs among wolves, and that we must learn to shake the dust off and move forward, because we are supposed to be light in a world of darkness, a world that really doesn't want anything to do with the light, because the light exposes what is in the shadows. So this is sobering, because it leaves our faith journey with all the trappings. Like, it's the way it looks is that the odds are against us. This is a losing game, and we are ill-equipped to even participate. But then in today's reading from Luke, we get a little bit of perspective, and that often is where hope lies. So Jesus said, look, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me, and anyone who rejects you, they're rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. So this immediately tells us that we haven't been sent as lambs among wolves alone. The message of light that we're carrying, the good news of the gospel, none of this is about us. It's not about a person accepting us. Like, we're not going out into the world to get people to accept us as their savior and follow in our footsteps and think we're amazing. But when the message is rejected, though, then, when ridicule and scorn and dismissal happens, that isn't about us either. According to Jesus, a person who rejects the light is rejecting God. So rather than trying to care for our own heart after we have tried to bring light and faced opposition, we should turn our attention and affection toward God. Imagine, like if it's not about us and it is the rejection of God, imagine the rejection God feels daily. On some days, even from us. Imagine the way that his name is defamed and his hope for humanity gets hit by the darkness at every angle. All of the dark will of human beings. Imagine all the blame that is heaped upon God for things he has nothing to do with every day. Like, it's crushing. Like, we would not be able to handle this at all. It's difficult to imagine. We are a species that God died to set free, yet we still seem to love the darkness more. Which ought to be heartbreaking to consider, but it's got to be heartbreaking for God. It's not we who have been rejected in these moments. It's God. And perhaps he could use a little of our empathy as we walk with him today. Because rejection, as we all know, hurts. And since God has moved the heavens and the earth to know and be known by us, then our posture toward him matters. Like, have you ever thought that God not only cares for you, but wants to be in a relationship with you in which you care back? That might sound strange, but how else are relationships designed? Like, how else do they work? They're reciprocal. So spend time with God today. Maybe for no other reason. Maybe today's not the day for all the things you need him to do. Maybe today, being Good Friday, is a day of humble gratitude. Maybe a day of true and deep repentance. Maybe a day of sitting in his presence in silence. Maybe a day in some way to bring joy to his heart out of our own grateful hearts. Because there hasn't been a display of love like this. A person doesn't die for you that doesn't love you. And if God is willing to go to those lengths to rescue us, then relationship is truly possible. Because we really matter. And so we are grateful. Jesus, we are grateful on this day. We honor you. There aren't any words that we could truly say to adequately respond, other than from a grateful heart, we commemorate and honor this day of great sacrifice on your part, on our behalf. And we pray that our lives may indeed be honorable to you. Honoring your life, your death, your resurrection, and our salvation. We are grateful, deeply grateful. We give all the honor and glory in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Love climbed the hill, crowned with our thorns. Heaven stood still, darkness roared. The weight of the world hung in the air. Hope seemed to die upon that tree there.
Beginning to
Behold.